sufferings that Christians go through, all the sufferings of God's people, all of the hardship in our death-denying and death-defying culture, which either says we're going to do all we can to fight it or just take it out so we don't have to experience that. You get either of those approaches with this. In all of that, we as Christians have been tempted to live trying to overcome all of that, all of the suffering, so living, trying desperately to prevent it in our lives, the obsession with aches and pains that we don't see in them. We don't understand in them what God is teaching us.
Precious in the eyes of the Lord are the death of his saints. Why? Well, we'll find out next on Abounding Grace as Pastor Chris Gordon takes us to Genesis chapters 49 and 50, a sermon on how to die well. Our people die well, said Wesley, and we'll find out why here today. Let's catch up with Pastor Chris now for today's broadcast.
All these are the 12 tribes of Israel. This is what their father said to them as he blessed them, blessing each with the blessing suitable to him. Then he commanded them and said to them, I am to be gathered to my people. Bury me with my fathers in the cave that is in the field of Ephron the Hittite, in the cave that is in the field at Machpelah to the east of Mamre, in the land of Canaan, which Abraham bought with the field from Ephron the Hittite to possess as a burying place. Then they buried Abraham. There they buried Abraham and Sarah, his wife. There they buried Isaac and Rebekah, his wife. And there I buried Leah. The field and the cave that is in it were bought from the Hittites. When Jacob finished commanding his sons, he drew up his feet into the bed and breathed his last and was gathered to his people. Then Joseph fell on his father's face and wept over him and kissed him. And Joseph commanded his servants, the physicians, to embalm his father. So the physicians embalmed Israel. 40 days were required for it, for that is how many are required for embalming. And the Egyptians wept for him 70 days. And when the days of weeping for him were past, Joseph spoke to the household of Pharaoh, saying, if now I have found favor in your eyes, please speak in the ears of Pharaoh, saying, my father made me swear, saying, I am about to die. In my tomb that I hewed out for myself in the land of Canaan, there you shall bury me. Now, therefore, let me please go up and bury my father, then I will return. And Pharaoh answered, go up and bury your father as he made you swear. So Joseph went up to bury his father. With him went all the servants of Pharaoh, the elders of his household, and the elders of the land of Egypt, as well as all the household of Joseph, his brothers, and his father's household. Only their children, their flocks, and their herds were left in the land of Goshen. And there went up with him both chariots and horsemen. It was a very great company. When they came to the threshing floor of Atad, that which is beyond the Jordan, they lamented there with a very great and grievous lamentation. And he made a mourning for his father 7 days. When the inhabitants of the land, the Canaanites, saw the mourning on the threshing floor of Atad, they said, this is a grievous mourning by the Egyptians. Therefore, the place was named Abel Mizraim. It is beyond the Jordan. Thus his sons did for him as he had commanded them. For his sons carried him to the land of Canaan and buried him in the cave of the field at Machpelah, to the east of Mamre, which Abraham bought with the field from Ephron the Hittite to possess as a burying place. After he had buried his father, Joseph returned to Egypt with his brothers and all who had gone up with him to bury his father. May the Lord bless the hearing of his word. As we come very close to concluding our study in the book of Genesis, do you find it a coincidence that this book is ending with death? It's an interesting thought, something to think about, because the book began with life, and the book is ending with death. And it's almost as if the author here, Moses, is reminding us of the tragic problem in seeing all of God's goodness throughout our study of Genesis. The tragic problem that still humanity faced at this point, still the family of Abraham faced at this point, and it is the reality of death. From dust you were taken, to dust you shall return, said the Lord in the curse of Genesis 3. Everyone here is going to die. That's not something that we American Christians have learned to deal well with. If you were ever to study past cultures and how they dealt with death and how they looked at death, you will find that cultures were really driven by their view of death and how they approached oncoming death. What did they think of death and how did they go forward with death? Throughout history, you had one writer outlines three different approaches to death, three different classifications in history. And he writes that the first was the death accepting approach. You saw this in Greek culture somewhat, where ironically Socrates would welcome death. Then you have the death-defying approach, which was, I will overcome death. I will beat death. In some ways, you could classify ancient Egypt with that view. We'll see in a moment. Then you have, this author says, the death-defying approach. I'm not going to act as if death is a reality. I'm not going to act as if it'll ever come. When society moves to deny the reality of death, what really happens is it does everything in its power to avoid it. That's America. We are a combination, a strange combination of being a death-defying and a death-denying culture. How is that seen? Well, I pulled up just an article last week on Sam Simon, the founder of the program The Simpsons. He was diagnosed with stage 4 colon cancer and given 3 to 6 months to live. Today, here's the article. Simon, 59, continues to defy that original prognosis. Defies it. We defy it until it comes, and then when it comes, we deny it. You know how awkward it is today for me to stand up and say so-and-so has died? You know, we don't say that anymore. It feels so cold to say so-and-so has died. We say they've passed away. They've kind of hopped over death. Think about that. It feels cold, and the thing that you should realize is death is cold. One of the examples that stands out to me the most a few years ago was the death of Farrah Fawcett. When she was diagnosed with cancer, she began treatments, and the doctors announced that she was totally cancer-free. A few months later, it was announced that then she had colorectal cancer. She began to fly all over the world looking for treatments to beat this, constantly crying out to the public for more research on cancer. I mean, how much now do you go to the grocery store and you're tired of somebody asking for a dime to put in for cancer research? She wanted to end the struggle. Toward the end of her struggle, she was trying to desperately avoid the end of her struggle. She actually had a documentary done on her deathbed where people could watch her progress and where it was all going. And she said, I want people to find reasoning. I want them to find a larger purpose in my suffering, she said. And here was her purpose. Here was her message. Don't give up. No matter what they say to you, you keep on fighting. You can beat it. So we have cancer walks. And we hold ribbons. And the language that we get is, I am, I'm quoting, I will, I'm strong, I'll fight. And at some point, you stand back from all this and you say, fight for what? You're going to die. You're not going to stop that. You're still going to die. You are immersed. This is why I raised this. You are immersed in a death-defying and a death-denying culture. That's what you live in. And today, you'll see it because we're praying for everyone's aches and pains. And this is spilled over into Christianity. Everyone's aches and pains as if that's abnormal. This is what we do. I mean, listen to our prayer request. It's about everyone's aches and pains. What is so important this morning in light of the end of Genesis as we deal with this curse that was placed on humanity and God showing us how this is transpiring and what's happening as humanity is dying, what we have this morning is the death of Jacob. And it's remarkable because we're really looking at the way that Jacob approached death. In fact, we have one of the most remarkable deathbed situations, testimonies in the Bible that you'll ever find. And I believe the Lord wanted us to look and learn through this about how saints are to look at this curse, how saints, his people, are to understand death, to think about death. What you believe about the body matters. What you believe about death matters. How you approach your oncoming death matters. It's what makes you distinctively Christian. How you view suffering, how you handle it. And you see this highlighted today in Jacob's testimony. It's a beautiful testimony. This is textbook on how to die, by the way. And that's why I gave it the title, the creative title, A Sermon on How to Die Well. It's not that creative, but I hope you get the point. Here we are, final deathbed scene. Just like all of his fathers, Jacob has come to his hour of death. He has passed the blessings. The previous chapter, remember, he blessed his sons. He gave the right of the firstborn to Joseph and his sons. He passes the blessing to Judah, specifically highlighting Judah, through whom the Christ would come. Here he is at the very end of this long life that we've studied. He can barely gather himself. He can barely lift his feet back up into the bed. That's the imagery here. Back in chapter 48, we learned that Jacob was sick. Remember 48? We read that Joseph was told, indeed, your father is sick. He's the only one we read of that said that of the patriarchs. He was sick. It's that moment. In chapter 48, I've got bad news for you. You've got 6 months. It's that kind of moment that we get in the life of Jacob. He either had some form of cancer, however we want to call it, the man's life was expiring, and now before us this morning, we've come to the moment of it. We've come to the moment he is going to die. No other saint outside of Christ gets this kind of attention at death. And I can't get over that thought. I can't get over that thought that Father Abraham didn't die all that well. No, he kind of retired and took it easy. Married again. Not that that was wrong. But you just don't have much highlighted about his death. It doesn't say much about his death. There wasn't a lot highlighted there. Isaac's was not finished well. Isaac's life, these are both saints. These are God's saints. But they didn't really finish that well. But Jacob finishes well. And what a message that is. The man who started the worst finishes the well. I just finishes the best. I can't get over that. You have kids who run. You have children who've rebelled. You have people who've defected. Loved ones. Look at this story. That's the most encouraging story we get. When we look at the end where you have the spotlight at the end of the book of Genesis put on the most notorious sinner, the heel grabber, finishing like this. It's remarkable that in the middle of the blessings last week, in the middle of the blessings, when Jacob was blessing Dan, we had something very strange happen in the middle of his blessing on Dan. If you look back to verse 17, Dan shall be a serpent in the way, a viper by the path, that bites the horse's heels so that his rider falls backward. I've waited for your salvation, O Lord. And you say, whoa, where does that come from? It's a beautiful cry that in the midst of Dan's blessing, it's as if he breaks out into a prayer and we get right into his heart of something he was feeling at that moment, something he had to express. The Spirit inspired it at that moment. I have waited for your salvation, O Lord. I love that. Where did that come from? the man's sick. All of a sudden he breaks out and says that. It's a beautiful cry. And what makes it so powerful is when we put all this together, which I hope you'll see today, it wasn't a cry from deliverance from physical sickness. He's not saying, I've waited for your salvation from the aid of the Egyptian doctors. Let's fight this. It was a cry given and birthed through a long struggle of Jacob fighting his whole life, trying to live by sight and not by faith. It was an expression of what he learned to value, what he had learned to wait for, what he had learned to treasure in this life. His life from the beginning was captured by struggle. His name Jacob, meaning deceiver, heel grabber. You know the story. You know the path that he chose. You know the way he ran. You know the choices that he made were wrong. And here he is at the end of his life sick, and he's saying, I've waited. I don't know if you read about the sad story of Brittany Maynard. Any of you read that? She was the one, Oregon had passed a law that you can die with dignity. And so she moved. She had brain cancer, 29 years old. She moves up to Oregon. And she wants to die with dignity. And if she took pills and ended her own life so she wouldn't have to suffer. Did you have any kind of emotion with that? Any kind of feeling as a Christian? Is that right? Is that wrong? What did you think? My answer was, that was a tragic story because there was nothing of faith in that. There was nothing of faith in that. Why do I say that? Part of the struggle of this life is learning to wait on the Lord. Part of the struggle of this life is learning to wait on the Lord. Psalmists say it over and over. I've waited, O Lord, for your salvation. Psalm 29, wait, wait, I say, on the Lord. Wait, wait, wait. You don't know how many times I've sat with, as a pastor, saints on their deathbed, and they say to me, I just don't understand. Why doesn't the Lord take me? And why the suffering? And why the hardship? And it's that intense struggle that we face at some point. And all the suffering, and it's been a hard one for me as a pastor to address when they're sitting there in the midst of suffering. I'm not suffering. What do you say in the midst of that? I know this, Jacob shows us something today. Jacob shows us something powerful. I'm waiting on you, O Lord. I'm waiting. All the sufferings that Christians go through, all the sufferings of God's people, all of the hardship in our death-denying and death-defying culture, which either says we're going to do all we can to fight it or just take it out so we don't have to experience that. You get either of those approaches with this. In all of that, we as Christians have been tempted to live trying to overcome all of that, all of the suffering, so living, trying desperately to prevent it in our lives, the obsession with aches and pains, that we don't see in them. We don't understand in them what God is teaching us. I was struck a couple Sunday nights ago by something that our Belgic said about sin. On original sin, listen to this. God doesn't impute sin to his children to condemnation. But by his grace and mercy is he forgives them. Not that they should rest securely in sin. Here it is. But that a sense of this corruption should make believers often to sigh. Sigh. Desiring to be delivered from this body of death. What a great statement. You realize that the sighs in this life, the sorrows in this life, are God's way of training and making us long for the Lord's ultimate deliverance and salvation. This is what he's doing. And you know, it's at these moments that grace is given more abundantly than you ever would imagine, as the Spirit, when you're groaning, intercedes with groanings for you that cannot be uttered and calls out to your God for grace and aid and help. as he trains you. When we're always living to overcome that, we miss what God is intended, which when he says our sufferings are but for a moment, but they're working something. They're working in us a far more exceeding weight of eternal glory. One of God's workings through sickness, one of God's workings through hardship and affliction is to produce the sigh that you just heard in the middle of Dan. I've waited and I want it. We carry in this life the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ. He calls us to that. And when he sees fit to having sufficiently trained us in righteousness, when he sees fit to finish the work that he began, he then ends it for us. And don't you want it that way? Don't you want it that way? He's working. And that's where you see this bright spotlight put right here. Look what I did in this man who was such a rebel. Look what I did in this man at the end of his life. And you get this kind of response. That's grace. That's God's workings. He's not trying to anymore take things his way. He's not trying anymore to do it his way. Here he is, not pressing the hand of God, stealing the birthright, stealing things. Now pinned to his bed, trusting in the Lord, waiting on the Lord's for his salvation. And that is the most beautiful place to be. A pilgrim who is wanting and longing for everything God promised. William Perkins wrote a book on how to die well. And we don't have a lot of books that I don't think that would sell well today. But a book on how to die well. Listen to what he says. The day of death surpasses the day of your birth. Your birthday is an entrance into all woe and misery. Your death day is an entrance into eternal life. Blessed is the day of death, since it brings a freedom from all sin. Why don't you want that looking at this world, looking at your hearts? The corrupt nature's abolished, sanctification's accomplished.
I have always maintained that I long for heaven. I long for that moment in time, because at that point, I, in my sin nature, will cease to be a source of grief to the one who has bought and paid for me. And this is Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Well, in closing our time together today, I'm reminded of other resource materials we have available at our website that would complement what we've heard today. agradio.org is a great place to go if you would like to know more about us and take advantage of other resource materials we have there. And if you have a question that you would like to address Pastor Chris with, maybe today's broadcast has sparked a thought or two, a question, please, by all means, send it off to us. Now, you can either email that to us through our website, agradio.org, or better yet, voice it through your voice memo app. Record your question, your name, and where you're calling from, and then send that to questions@agradio.org. That's questions@agradio.org. You're also welcome to reach us by phone. The number is 888-504-8805. Abounding Grace Radio is also on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can visit our website for links to the platform that you prefer to follow. One final note as we close out our program today, we are listener-supported, which means friends of the ministry come alongside and partner with us financially and prayerfully, ensuring that this program continues right here on this radio station. You see, we look to friends like you to help ensure that this broadcast continues to spread the gospel of grace wherever we're at. If you would like to be a part of that, a small gift, large gift, one time or an ongoing monthly gift, we'd love to hear from you. agradio.org, you can give securely online, 888-504-8805, or write to us, Abounding Grace Radio, P.O. Box 732, Linden, Washington. The zip code is 98264. Well, next time we get together, we'll continue our look at Genesis chapters 49 and 50 and this wonderful message that Pastor Chris is entitled, A Sermon on How to Die Well. In a society where we cheat death, hide from death, and do everything we can to postpone and delay it, it's comforting to go back to God's Word and be reminded once again of just how precious the death of His saints really is in His sight. We'll explore that more next time we're together on Abounding Grace. Have a great weekend, and we'll see you Monday. Until then, God bless.
Abounding Grace is brought to you on this radio station by Abounding Grace Radio Ministries.
Hi, I'm Chris Gordon, the host of Abounding Grace Radio. I'm also the pastor of the Escondido United Reformed Church. If you are local to Southern California and live near the Escondido area, we would love to see you at one of our worship services on Sunday. We worship at 9:30 a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m. at the Escondido United Reformed Church, 1864 North Broadway here in Escondido. You can find us on the web at www.escondidourc.org. EscondidoURC.org. The Escondido United Reformed Church, a place where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught.